Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you this morning. Very good to see you. And welcome again to all of the guests who are here. Greetings to you online. May you feel like you're pulled into the joy of being in this room this morning. So I have a question for you. Have any of you ever taken a second, or maybe for you it's your third language in school? Yeah, some. What languages? French? Spanish? Dutch. Wow, that's interesting. Russian, Arabic, Turkish? Again? Yoruba. See, we didn't all go to school in the United States. So it's a trick. Or maybe you grew up in a house where a parent or a grandparent spoke a second language at home, and then the relatives came to visit, and they assumed that you spoke it fluently. That ever happened to you? It's a bad moment. Sends you back to your language learning app really fast. Did any of you get to the point with the second language that you learned where you were listening to it, listening to a talk, or you were reading it, or you were using it to talk to somebody else, and you realized that you were not mentally translating every word anymore, that you were actually thinking in that language? Yeah? That is such a fun feeling. I'm just getting there with Spanish, where if I'm immersed in it, I can, for long enough, I can start to just stop translating and just think. Have any of you been downtown and encountered a desperate tourist trying to get directions, who speaks only a little English, but speaks a language that you learned a bazillion years ago, and from some dusty file cabinet in your brain, the words came to help them? That has happened to me a few times. Or you were the tourist or the student in another place, forever grateful that some kind person could grab enough of the English they had learned from the dusty file cabinets in the back of their brain to help you figure out the menu or find the bottle of cough medicine on the pharmacy shelf. Languages, words, we need them. From day one of our lives, our mind reaches for them, absorbs them, brings them forward to express ourselves with our voice or our hands and fingers or both. Words give expression to our greatest joys, our deepest sorrows, our desperation and our need. Without them, our connections to each other falter. Without them, our desire to reach out and touch heaven with our joy or our hope or our need can't do justice to the passion in our hearts. Without them, we can't make our point. We can't communicate. We need words. We are coming toward the end of a sermon series on some of the gifts that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. And our scripture passage today is about a day when God sent a gift to the first followers of Jesus, and part of it had to do with words. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine," which is an odd thing to think, because at least in my experience, that has never been one of the things that happens when people have had too much to drink. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." This is the word of the Lord. In response to all the people rushing toward them, Peter, former coward, launches into an explanation showing from the Old Testament book of the prophet Joel and the Psalms of David clues about who the Messiah would be, starting with King David all the way up to Jesus and what he said and did, and then to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that they had all just seen. It was so persuasive that 3,000 people joined their little gathered community of about 100 right then. Considering that Peter had had zero time to prepare and was as surprised as any of them, that is a wonder of language. The last instruction Jesus had given his disciples, as captured in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, was, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That second word that we translate baptized in English is a different word in the original language from the first one, which we also translate baptized, which isn't helpful in this case. The first one is a one-time event, sort of a ceremony word, a fancy word for special occasions. It is, in fact, what we think of when we hear about a baptism. The second one is a very common word that means something like our word drenched or soaked, like I didn't listen to the weather report and I got soaked, that kind of soaked. It was used to describe what you do with a cucumber if you want to make a pickle. You immerse the cucumber in the brine and let it soak until it absorbs the brine and its characteristics become picklish. There are Old Testament stories of various people being filled or drenched in the Holy Spirit. Every observant Jew would have heard the stories. Most often they would result in the person or people bursting into words of worship, of appreciation for the things God had done and would do, not in a formal way, but in a straight from their gut sort of way. Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 is one example where God takes some of the power Moses was filled with and pours it onto 70 elders or tribal leaders. And they burst into these declarations of God's power and majesty, including two of them back in the camp who apparently hadn't gotten the memo to say what time we were meeting. And they were as surprised could be when they all of a sudden jumped up, calling out God's power, majesty, and wisdom right in the middle of the camp. That same scenario happened here. The disciples had been gathered in secret, staying very quiet because of the religious authorities who were eager to arrest them and stamp this young movement out before its influence could start spreading again. The Holy Spirit burst out of heaven into the room with a noise like a roaring wind or the eerie roaring sound that comes with a forest fire and lit them up with what they described to historian Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, as flames of fire that were different from the fire we're familiar with because it flamed, but it didn't harm what it touched. It was like the burning bush in the desert that Moses saw when he was out tending his sheep, which burned, the bush burned, but it was not consumed. This filling with the Holy Spirit drenched them, kind of poured fire on them in something like tangible power, like fire in their souls. And out of their mouths came words declaring the wonders of God, just like what had happened to their ancestors, but not in their first language. That was the surprise twist. Now, why on earth would God give them the gift of the Holy Spirit that he had promised in this rather unusual way? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but we can make some guesses. The disciples desperately needed to know that God was who Jesus told them his Father was, mighty and powerful and capable and, very important, present with them now, just as Jesus had been present with them through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who had just drenched them. And there is nothing like a strong experience like that with no other explanation to change the nature of our confidence and our courage. Also, the purpose of all the different languages was the impact on the crowd rushing toward them. God speaks every earthly language fluently, did you know? Including all the tribal ones. God also knows quite a few other languages that the Bible calls the languages that angels speak. He can give you any language that he likes as a prayer language. So knowing that Jews and converts to Judaism from all the countries to which they had been scattered were all in Jerusalem for Passover and then the Pentecost feast 50 days later, celebrating the giving of the Word of God, the Torah. When God poured out the Holy Spirit on his disciples, he literally put words in their mouths, languages they didn't know, but that were the primary languages spoken by all those visitors to Jerusalem. Once the curious had gathered, he then gave Peter words, but in Hebrew, the language used in common by all the Jewish believers. Peter's experience was of the Holy Spirit giving him words, and he was just going with it. He certainly hadn't had time at all to prepare a coherent message. Even after that Pentecost day, up to this very time, being filled or drenched by the Holy Spirit has been an experience that people who follow Jesus can ask for and eagerly anticipate, though we never know what it might look like from time to time. In the book of Acts, which is the history of the first year of the fledgling churches, we see frequent refuelings, experiences of, you know, being infilled again. Sometimes it comes with this experience of speaking in a language they hadn't learned, other times something else, an infusion of courage to speak truth boldly, or gifts of healing, like Jordan Tseng taught us about 2 weeks ago, or prophecy, like Pastor Ted talked about last week. As Peter and the others traveled around, they looked for it and asked about it. Has this happened here yet? No? Well then, let's ask. So God loves to fill those who love Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And God gives us gifts to use on behalf of others, including a gift of words, of languages. Or as the first English translation that was widely distributed of the Bible in the time of King James of England in 1611 put it, the gift of tongues, which we're stuck with now, even though we never use that word to as equal languages. But there you have it. We're stuck with it. Here are three circumstances that show us what a useful, powerful gift it is. First, God gives us the gift of words at the moment we need them. God gave Peter the gift of words to speak to the gathered crowd in our passage in Acts, and he gave to Peter and his fellow disciple John words to address the religious leaders in Acts chapter 4 when they hauled them in for an impromptu trial in the wake of that Pentecost event. He gives that same gift to people now. A few years ago, in the wake of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, people who lived in or studied in the part of the city of New Haven, Connecticut, closest to Yale University, gathered to march, grieve, and protest. The emotional temperature heated up as the march went on. The pastors and some of the people from Elm City Vineyard, which meets near the Yale campus, were there. That church looks a lot like us. They could feel the tension start to grow. The relationship between the neighborhood around the campus and the police had a long history of distrust. I grew up an hour from there. I remember it being that way when I was a little girl, and it's still that way today, unfortunately. The crowd was tipping toward violence with the predictable reactions. In that moment, our friend Josh, the pastor of Elm City Vineyard, looked up at the platform that had been set up, which was empty, and realized that either there was no organizing committee or they hadn't planned for this possibility. Probably the latter. He felt the strong hand of the Holy Spirit pushing him toward the platform. So he got up there and took hold of the microphone and looked out over the crowd and thought, God help me, I have no words. And then into his head came the first words of what he was to say. No more than that. He just had to take the risk. But as soon as he started speaking, the mood in the crowd shifted and yelling turned to listening to this young black pastor. And after that first sentence, there was another, and then another, and words and phrases, and then the thread of an argument he could follow that spoke of justice, that called people forward to meet the tide of hate and anger with certainty and hope and a bigger vision. it was not long, it was powerful, and that violent mood passed. Someone started a song, and the crowd slowly dispersed. So one circumstance in which the supernatural gift of languages is given is to give us the words we need when we encounter a situation where we don't have time to prepare and we need to step up. Jesus warned his disciples that they would encounter lots of situations where they didn't have time to prepare, both opportunities and threats, and he told them, "Don't worry about it. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you the words you need. He will give you what you are to say." Second, God gives us the gift of words to uplift our perspective. A second reason why this gift of languages or tongues or a prayer language is valuable is that by it, the Holy Spirit gives us insight and knowledge beyond what we can grasp with our brains, with our conscious thought, to describe how wonderful God is, how amazing are the things God has done, how deep is God's love, how high God's understanding, how mighty God's hand, how infinite God's creativity, how excellent God's justice. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, the Apostle Paul describes this as the way this gift edifies us. That word isn't used so much now, but you can see the root of it in our word educate. It means to give us more light to see by, to lift us up, to improve our perspective or our vantage point on what's in front of us. God gives us a prayer language, like a bonus language added to however many you already know, but installed and updated by the Holy Spirit directly. And as you speak to God in that language, your words are speaking of everything that is true about God and God's intentions. And your inner being is absorbing that and being strengthened and encouraged. Your vantage point, your viewpoint changes. Jackie Pullinger, a heroine of the faith who has given her life to rescuing those caught in addiction and gang culture in the back streets of Hong Kong, describes her experience with this. When she started out, a white British woman living in a crowded, high-rise, rabbit's warren of tiny apartments and gangways, no one would listen to her. Indeed, when they saw her, they would run the other way. Crazy lady coming. Or worse, laugh at her. After Jackie became aware of the gift of speaking in tongues, she decided every day she would spend 15 minutes praying in the Spirit. Before starting to pray, she told God she did not know how to pray about what was happening for her or not happening for her. And she asked God to pray through her and to lead her to people who want God. While she honestly admits finding this a little bit of a struggle initially, the results, in her own words, were remarkable. She said this, "After about 6 weeks, I noticed that those I talked to about Christ believed. This time, I was talking about Jesus to people who wanted to hear. I had let God have a hand in my prayers, and it produced a direct result. Instead of my deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking his blessing, I was asking him to do his will through me as I prayed in the language he gave me." The first believers considered this such a very helpful gift that Paul says in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. And no wonder if the results could be like that. Finally, God gives us the gift of words to help us when we don't know how to pray. In praying for all the hard, perplexing, frustrating, grief-producing situations of life, our own and those of others, we just plain run out of words, especially when we ourselves are in distress. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he describes this so beautifully. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So we have a situation. We don't know how to pray. We've run out of words or direction. But God can give us this gift of tongues, this gift of a prayer language. And as we use it, the Holy Spirit, who has filled us, intercedes for us with words and even groans that our own words just aren't adequate for. And the promise is that the Spirit and the Father are always on the same page about what God's will is. So if you are praying in the language God has given you, you can be quite confident that you are asking God for exactly what God wants you to request. That's pretty priceless. As a mother and a grandmother, I have been very grateful for this gift. When I was praying for my toddlers and teenagers in their most oppositional or radio silence moments, I needed the Holy Spirit interceding with me. When I was praying over the grief of a church planter whose fledgling church had seemingly withered away while he finally took one measly week off to rest, I needed a prayer language beyond my own words. When I was praying for friends who had just lost a child to a cruel illness, nothing felt as fruitful as praying in tongues for them. I needed words I didn't have or couldn't find, and when I held out my hands and asked for help, the Holy Spirit gave me words in a language I'd never learned. My mind rested and was edified, and my spirit prayed. What did I feel? I felt comforted, as though God had taken my words and embedded them into a prayer bigger and more powerful and true, capturing God's thoughts and intentions perfectly. That, in turn, would catalyze my prayers in English all over again, but with more confidence, more assurance of God's love for me and for the person I'd be interceding for. We want to finish, as we have with the other talks in this series, with giving all of us an opportunity to be soaked in the Holy Spirit again, or for the first time. And for any and all who are thinking, wow, that gift of languages would be really helpful, we can hold out our hands and say, yes, please. We don't have to beg. We don't have to get all cleaned up first. We don't have to know what we're doing, because really, how likely is that? We do have to be willing to just go with something that we can't think ourselves into succeeding at. You notice that in none of the stories I told you this morning did I describe a method for receiving this gift, or even a promise that tongues is guaranteed to be in the gift box God gives you. There's always something in the box, but he is the giver, and he gets to decide if there is something even more valuable for you right away, anyway. Chiefly, we say, Father, you are the gift giver, and I'm the kid who just loves those packages. Please drench me with your Holy Spirit again right now. And if you want to give me this gift of a prayer language while you're at it, I'd be so happy to take it. And if you have a different gift in mind, that's fine too. I'm just going to hold my hands out for all of the Holy Spirit that I can possibly hold. And then you wait and just see what God might do. Sometimes just speaking Jesus' name is a great prayer, like you were speaking the name of your dearest friend, because he is. And if you start to find words or syllables coming through your mind, just say them or murmur them out loud. There is no reporter for CNN standing here waiting to pounce on you and evaluate your experience. You can just try it on for size. Think of the way a baby learns language. They love repeating the new sounds they are discovering. Often if you start, there's more right behind them. Just keep looking at Jesus. And don't overthink it. So we have just a little bit of time here. And so what I'd like to do is to ask you to stand if you're able. And because the whole point is asking the Holy Spirit to fill us up again. That's what we are chiefly going to ask for. But we're also going to have take the opportunity to hold, if this gift of a language, a prayer language, tongues that God has on offer, if that's something you'd like, you can hold out your hands and say, yes, please. Or if you're an introvert like me, you can tuck your elbows close to your ribs and just hold them out a little bit like that. It works. And I'm just going to pray for a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and to give to any one of you this gift if you are wanting it. And then all you have to do is relax and receive. And if you hear a word, a syllable floating through your head that you don't recognize, just say it out loud, say it, whisper it, whatever. And without embarrassment, without just trying it. Okay? Father, you are the giver of all good gifts. And you are the one who gives us of your very spirit to strengthen us and fill us and give us confidence. Will you come now to your people in this room today? And will you soak us again? Will you drench us in your love and your power, your spirit? And to everyone who is asking for a language of prayer, would you fill their mouths just as you did the apostles, just as you did Peter? Will you fill their mouths with words that belong to a language somewhere and they don't have to learn it? So come, Lord. Let your blessing be on your people. Let your blessing be on all the people in this room. on family, on friends. Let your blessing rest on us, Father. We are so grateful. In your name we pray. Amen.